Hello, I'd like to welcome you all tonight to our gospel meeting, and we're very happy to have all of you here tonight. Welcome all of our new friends, and really pray that tonight you can get a better understanding of our Christian faith and be able to have an opportunity to talk and share with us, and to be able to get a better understanding of what it is I believe, and so that we can also make friends with you and be able to get to know you better. Why don't we start tonight's meeting, and we'll start off with a prayer and be able to pray for tonight's meeting together. So we'll pray time together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've given us this time tonight, and we thank you that you are the creator and the sustainer of everything in this world. And we thank you that you have a plan for each one of us. And I thank you that you prepared this time for us this evening. And for everyone that is here tonight, whether it's new friends or whether it's members from our church, we pray that you can have your guiding hand to lead us in tonight's message. And in the meeting that we have, whether we are singing hymns or we are listening to your message, or whether we are sharing with each other, may we be able to build a good relationship with one another. May your hand be guiding us to be able to help us to understand one another, and may you reveal yourself to us and give each of us a personal understanding of your salvation for our personal lives. I pray that we'll be able to really feel your presence with us tonight, and that we can understand through the meeting how you want us to be able to be focused on you, and I really hand the following time into your hands. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'd like to start the meeting with a hymn, and as I mentioned to some of our friends earlier, we're all going to sing together, and it's in our hymn books, and if we could turn to hymn 115. So the hymn to sing together is 115. It's actually a fairly well-known hymn. It's entirely possible that you've heard it before. And 115 is He Lives. And the word He here is, of course, referring to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And why don't we have our pianist, Grace, play it once for us, and we'll listen to the hymn together. Reasons for why we know that He lives, why we know that Jesus lives. And it tells us very clearly in the words of the first stanza. And maybe we can think about that together as we, like all of us, to try to sing stanza one together. And if this gives a starting note, why don't we try to do that? One, two, three. I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever man may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives. and talks with me a long, less narrow way. He lives, he lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives so within my heart. Let's sing that again. Okay, one, two, three. I serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever man may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. This hymn repeats over and over again that he, Christ Jesus, lives. He and his Spirit lives within our hearts, guiding us day by day. And that's repeated over again, over and over again in the refrain. It says, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me a long life's narrow way. And he's ready to impart and give salvation to all of us. And all of us Christians are firmly convinced and know this, that he lives within our hearts today. And it says that he is ready to help us wherever we need him. And that's the focus of our daily walk and our daily guidance from Christ. And that's what this hymn is telling us. And that's kind of the message we want to bring out to you tonight. And the words of this hymn are very special because it is an active and, I was going to say, a living word, because the word is lives. And that's one of the focuses that this hymn is trying to tell us. It is not anything or a mere fact of knowledge or a mere situation or status that we know about. But by the fact that Christ is living, it is something so real and so genuine, and that as we have every new day we have to face and to do all the things we have to do daily, Jesus Christ is with us. He has gone before and faced everything in this world, and Christ Jesus is with us daily, and he is our guide and our master, and that's the focus that we all have as Christians. And that's one of the main points that this hymn is telling us. Because that Christ is living, then that's the focus, and that is and Christ is the one who sustains us daily. Why don't we sing stanza one again, and we can think more about how this hymn tells us that Christ is living and our daily guide. Could you give us a note? Okay, one, two, three. I serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever man may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, he lives. Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives so within my heart. I think Christ's strength and guidance is so important and so real in our lives, because It is daily there. It is daily sustaining us. And Christ is living now and guiding us daily. And that's where the assurance and guidance that we have as Christians is. And that Christ is our guidance. And that is the focus of how we live every day. Why don't we also sing the second and third stanzas, and then we can that'll finish off all the stanzas for this hymn then. And can we get a note? And we'll start with stanza 2. 1, 2, 3.
In all the world around me, I see His loving care. I know my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blasts. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives so within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. The hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. To impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Thank you very much for all of your wonderful thing. And I'd like to hand the following time to our brother Francis Mack, and he has a message for us about God's salvation tonight.
Good evening. I'd like to know a little bit more about you. You know, my name is Francis Mack, and I want to know how many of you come to our church the first time? Okay. Now, how many of you come to a church, any church, the first time? Okay, I see. Well, about 1 year, 2 years ago, there was a survey being done about people taking planes. And in the survey, they ask, what are you things you are afraid of when you are in a plane? So people answer, afraid of hijacking, afraid of accident, afraid of the meal, and some say, I'm afraid of sitting beside a devoted Christian, especially when it's a long haul. Now you are surrounded by lots of devoted Christians. You're being invited here. I hope you are not afraid of us. And you have a nice meal, and that helps, right? Of course, it's only 1 hour. This flight is not long. It's 1 hour, so should be okay. Tonight we are going to talk about the gospel. The gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Actually, the gospel is nothing but a person. And that person, I've been known for a long time, and he's my friend, and his name is Jesus. I would like to know more about, I would like to tell more about this friend to you. This friend I've been known for 30 years. It's a long time. That means I'm quite old, actually. 30 years I've been knowing this Jesus. Just like the hymn you have sung, he's a good friend of me. I still remember many years ago, I believe it's around about 23 years ago or 24 years ago. I was here studying, and I and my wife, we lived together, and we had a car worth about $500. We purchased a $500, and to let you relate to what is the $500. I was studying by then in the master program, and the tuition fee for the semester is $570. So for the whole tuition, I can buy a car, $500. And that car was not a very good car. Of course, it's cheap. So therefore, one day we found out that there's some problem with the axle at the rear, for the rear tire. So we don't know what's wrong about it. And we know that we need to let some expert or professional to look at it. So we need to take it to the garage. By then we didn't know David yet. David was not grown yet, actually. David Frank was not grown yet, so he was not a mechanic yet. So therefore, we don't know what to do, but we had no money. So we are so concerned that if we go to a wrong garage, then they may rip us off. But we don't know what to do yet. We need to take the car to the garage. So we pray to our friend, I and my wife. We pray honestly, saying that, Lord Jesus Christ, we know there is something wrong about this car. We don't know what's wrong about this car, but we need to fix it. Otherwise, we cannot climb the mountain and study in SFU by then. So it may be quite dangerous. So we pray to our Lord Jesus. And then he didn't answer me, you go to this garage or you go to that garage. No, he didn't tell us anything at that time. But after the prayer with this Lord Jesus, we have the confidence that let's go. We jump in the car, we start the car, and we go forward. We don't know where we're going to, actually. Then along the night street, we saw a garage. The name is kind of like Trust and Faithful. That's the name of the garage. So we said, oh, the name sounds okay. Let's go pull into that garage. So we pull into that garage. And we don't know. We still keep on praying about that. And now that garage, the owner came out to see us. We told them we believe there's a problem. And he looked at it. He didn't say anything. He looked at it for some time, and then he said, we don't do these things. I introduce you to another garage, which is on the other direction, on not commercial, on the Victoria. You go there. I said, do you know what's the problem? He said, I don't know much. I don't know exactly what's wrong, but he knew. He knows. He deal with axles. Okay, so how much? No, just go. Ooh, Trust and Faithful is quite good. So we went. So we went to turn back to Victoria and then go to that garage. Oh, this one is a big one. And the one I went in was a Chinese one. It's not very big. But this one's a big one. They get lots of bays, you know, those bays to lift the car. Uh-oh. It's a Caucasian. Uh-oh, he might, and his hourly rate would be $30 or $40, or two, maybe quite expensive. Let's be careful. We went to that garage, and then he said, I told them again what's the problem. Then he asked his people to jack up the car, to take a look, and then they internally discuss among themselves what they believe. And then, after half an hour, I forgot. Then it came back to us. So we thought, oh, it might cost us a lot of money. And he said, we know this problem. The axle is tilted. It's not very good. But we're not going to fix your car. Your car is too old already. Don't fix it. And just drive slower. Okay, just drive slower. Don't drive on highway if you don't need to. So we asked, how much? No, just go. So we went back home. We go around in a circle and went back home. We realized the problem is there. Realized the problem may not be that serious. And then we didn't spend any money. We were thankful because we didn't know where to go to start with. But when we come back, we know. Our Lord Jesus, He sent us to this garage, to that garage, and then come back with a solution. And the solution doesn't cost us any money. Because He knows, our Lord knows that we will not reach by that time. This is the Lord Jesus I've been knowing for many years. And then after that, I went back to Hong Kong. I come back to as a land immigrant. And then one time we need to find a place to live because the place we were living was being sold, and therefore we need to find a place to live, to move to. And again, we just moved in from Hong Kong, so we were not rich, and actually we spent all the money when we were studying here, so we get we don't have much money. So, but we have lots of criteria because I have my first son, I need to live with my father-in-law and mother-in-law, I need to have two levels, all kinds of criteria. And it should be at least maybe 1,000 square feet, but we can only afford 500. So we pray, and then we start to look around about apartment, a basement, or whatever for us. We know that we are in a hurry because the house has been sold and the new owner is going to occupy the house maybe a month or 2 months' time. So we are in a hurry. So we look around for some time and then find a house. Not very good. Long clock drive. Not very good. But at least 500. It fits our needs. And also, there's two levels, so that I can live with my in-laws together. And so then the landlady said, "Now you need to be quick, because someone else is looking at this place as well. If you want to get this place, pay me the deposit of 500." And we said, "No, in us." In my heart, in my wife's heart, we want to pray about that first. Pray to this Lord Jesus again. What should we do next? So we said, nope, we'll go home first, and we will bring the check back later if we decide to rent. And she said, no, if you don't pay me the check, now you may not have the place. We know that will be the situation. So we went home, and then we pray about that. We pray to our Lord Jesus, "Lord, what should I do? This is the place you want us to go to, or somewhere else?" Then we pray, and then after praying, nothing happened. So we feel, okay, well, let's write a check. That is the place I think is good. At least we can live together. It's not the best place. So we decided to write a check. And by the time we write the check, the phone rings. And on the other side of the phone, it was the agent, the real estate agent who purchased the house. And he said, "Are you looking for a place?" I said, "Yes, we are." "Have you found it?" He said, "Almost." "How much are you paying?" $500. He said, "Okay. Do you want to stay here?" "Huh? Staying here?" "That place we are staying in is actually quite a nice house. So, of course, we want to stay here because this is a nice place. But we can't afford the rent. Just $500. And you can stay here. because you've been staying in this house, and the landlord, the new owner, they're not coming soon. So you're not in a hurry to move away. So instead of I try to find another tenant for this place, you can have this place. So they gave us this place, but this place has two levels, up and down. It's a Vancouver special. So I can't pay for the whole house. I said, it's okay, just pay me for the rent for upstairs first, and we can find another tenant for that, for downstairs. So the process seems to be quite smooth, and if we didn't wait and pray before God, before this Lord Jesus, and just pay the deposit, then we will lose the 500, because we know that we like this place, the place where we were living in, than the new place we were trying to move to. So kind of this Lord Jesus, he stopped us in the middle at the right time. If we don't come back, we can't answer the phone call. And things seem to be so properly arranged. This thing's also happening about 22 years ago. And many, many other incidents in my life, I have this friend, Jesus Christ, helping me and guiding me. My first job, it was a miracle, the first full-time job. And then after that, lots of things happening in our family, in our life. For example, the birth of our son Ivan, it was very special too. So many things we experience, knowing that this Lord Jesus, the friend we know for so many years, is a real friend. We don't see him, but he is real. Not only that, he's living around me, he's living in me, guiding me. I always need to travel, so when I travel to East Coast, I need to do a lot of things, and those things are very tough. And in many, many occasions, when I was in the middle of dealing with the issues, I need to bow down and pray to my friend again, Lord Jesus, and asking him what I should do. And I can tell you, every time when I bow down to him, he answers me. When I had no answer for the situation, either he answered me or he changed the situation, so that I got a way out. This is the Lord Jesus I've been knowing for, and I want to introduce this Lord Jesus to you. I can say that this Lord Jesus, I can feel he loves me a lot. And I know that this Lord Jesus doesn't only love me, he loves everyone. Because the Bible says very clearly that this Lord Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Son of God. He's been sent by this God to this world so that everyone, I want to repeat, everyone in this world can be able to experience the love of God through this Lord Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. But I do need to confess that many of us may not have the opportunity yet to experience the love of this Lord Jesus. There are many, many people in this world, they never have the chance to experience Lord Jesus' love, and many died without this experience. And tonight, I really would like to encourage you to really grab hold of this opportunity to know this Lord Jesus Christ and to know his love. Let me tell you more about what I'm believing in. There are many, many religions in this world. Many of them, and Many Christians said Christianity is not a religion. I fully support that. Christianity is not a religion. Religion is usually being established by man on the way they try to seek their God. But actually, Christianity, the Bible, actually was being inspired by God himself, not created by man. If it was created by man, man will not use this way to lead their life. Man will definitely use another way to lead their life. So Christianity is not a religion, but it's not a key issue. The key issue about Christianity, the faith I'm having, is there are two things I know is very different, which you may have known already. The first thing, that this Christianity, or that this belief, is focusing on a person instead of focusing on the teachings. If you look, think about that, lots of religions, we focus on the teachings. The one who established the religion, he was great. But after he passed away, his teachings should be the key issues on that religion. But no, not for the Christianity. Doesn't mean that we don't have teachings, we have a lot of teachings. But the key thing of our faith is not on the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ or the teaching of this Bible. Again, I want to say, these are very important, but not the first and foremost. The first and foremost thing relies on a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. That's the first thing you think is, you know, is different. Without this person, the whole Christianity will collapse, for sure. For many, many other religions, the founder, he passed away. He was great. But still, the whole thing continued. But if this Christianity is without Jesus Christ, the whole thing will collapse, for sure. So, this is the first thing I see is different. The second thing I see is different about Christianity is, Christianity is the only thing I see in this world. I may not have a lot of knowledge, but I see that. Is this, if you call it, I believe in Christianity, then the people who ask you to believe in will ask you to do one thing, which is to confess and repent. That means, in other religions, people say that you're okay, believe in these religions, you'll be better, from good to better, or from better to best. But for Christianity, it's different. It's not from good to better, from better to best. It's from wrong to right. If you don't believe in it, you are wrong. And you are wronged totally. And there's no way out. So, Christianity is we don't call it religion, it's the faith that we want to share. That you need to have to repent. That means you need to have to be saved through this. In order that you have a new life. That means you were on the wrong side, and now you need to go to the right side. If you don't do that, you'll be eternally perished. Now this is Christianity. Before I believe in, as I become a Christian, I didn't know much about this. And I always said, well, okay, someone asked me to go to church. Yes, I go. Church can make me a little bit better. I believe so. I was good already. I was a nice guy. I know I was not perfect, but I was quite nice. And if you want to ask me how nice I am, I can tell you that I don't smoke, I don't drink. And did I say any coarse languages? Yeah. Yes, I did. But I can count it with my fingers. not more than 10 times. So I was quite a nice guy. Kind, good, and like to help other people. And I thought, oh, if someone get married to me, she would be lucky. But I can tell you now, my wife, you said you were wrong. I was so going to church. Now I'm honest to you. Initially, I thought I would be better. How to make me better, I don't know, but I think I'll be getting better. That doesn't mean that I was wrong in the first place. I was good. And so that was my initial perception about Christianity. It was not until around about 30 years ago, in one afternoon, after I've been going to church for around about 1 to 2 years, then I was at home by myself. Then something came into my heart, nothing very special, but some thought came into my heart, and that thought kind of shows me what I did wrong in the past, which I was not aware of. I thought I was good, but when the inspiration from God or from Jesus Christ came into my heart that afternoon, I really saw that I was a very sinful person. I was very filthy. I didn't do anything wrong. I was never being arrested by police. I believe none of you ever. Even though I don't have any external deeds which people can say you are very wrong, but I can tell you honestly, when the light comes into my heart, it shows me there are a lot of things in me. It was very dirty. I cannot deny it. And I can say none of us can deny that we are very dirty in us. We could behave very well, and we don't want to harm people, but deep in our heart, deep in our mind, there are things that seems we were born like this. There was some saying that it's very simple. Look at yourself. We can easily get mad at something. Getting mad at something seems to be quite natural. Now maybe you don't get mad on all the things, on many things, but it's easy for us to get mad on something, one or two things, very easy. Something can easily irritate you, and then you get very upset. And we need to control ourselves. Calm down, don't be angry, don't think about that, in order that we can go through that situation. But when you come back again, you were bad again. That things come quite naturally in us. Isn't that right? And same, we can be very decent in our dress, but if you look at ourselves, look at our thought, we may have very dirty thoughts. It's very honest. When we are very honest to ourselves, there are things come in us which seem to come up from nowhere. If you are honest to yourself, or you can ask your parents, the parents will always teach you to do the right thing. If they get a chance to teach you to do the right thing, they will for sure. But how can we become bad so easily? Think about our life. Lots of times we need to work very hard to become good, but it's not very difficult to become very bad. So there seems to be something in us, kind of like a nature in us, which will lead us to think or sometimes do bad things. And we cannot deny that. We may stop it successfully, externally, but somehow those things come back. Isn't that true? It's true. I can tell you this is something hidden in me for a long time, which I know you have it as well. So therefore, God wants us to know we have something in us. Okay. Let's move the screen first. We have sin in us. Now, nobody liked this. One day when I talked to my boss, since she said to me, I like Christians. Yes, I like it honest. I like them honest. They are diligent. But I don't like one thing. They always tell you are a sinner. So she said to me, I don't like that. I'm not a sinner. And they always say I'm a sinner. Nobody like that. And nobody like to admit that we are a sinner. But if we are honest to ourselves, there is something in us which can lead us to know that we are not good. We have lust in us. We have evil thoughts in us. We have hatred in us. Sometimes we can hate someone in such a way that if he is being killed in my mind. I did have this experience. I hate someone so much that he was dead in my mind already, even though he's still alive. That hatred was there. Not from the teaching from my parents, not from the school. But I do hate him. Why? Because I hate him. Come from where? Come from my nature. So the Bible said, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This is, Bible's made it very clear that we are sinful. And the Bible also tells us another thing. For the wages of sin is death. We don't like this either. But the fact is, as far as I know, nobody lived forever. We all hope we can live forever, but nobody did. And also, death is not the ending. There's a bomb just to make sure that we are all awake. The ending is, just as man is destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment. There are judgment after our death. Now, this comes from the Bible, not from me. Okay, so the Bible says so. And the Bible actually itself is the Word of God. That means it's God who wrote this book. And therefore God make it very clear that we all have sinned. One. Secondly, we all will die. Thirdly, we all will face judgment. So therefore, knowing this, knowing that we can escape, then God give us a solution. And that solution is Jesus Christ again. I don't know if you have been to any gospel meeting. In many gospel meetings, lots of Christians, they emphasize on God is love. God loves us. And that's true. I want to emphasize too that God loves us. But that's not the problem. God loves us is very good. And we want to have the love of God. That's really good. But somehow we don't have it. And that's a problem. And why we don't have it, do you know? I want to tell you later. And some people also in the gospel meeting, they said, you have a lot of sins, so therefore you need to repent from your sins. And that's true to me, to be honest with you. I have lots of sins. Since I believe in Jesus Christ, I know that our Lord Jesus cleansed my sins, but I do still have a lot of sins committed every day, and I still need His blood to cleanse me. to have sins forgiven is also very important, very good. But that's not the key problem. I want to tell you what's the key problem of man. The key problem of man is actually we are separated from God. We are separated from the God who created the whole universe and God who created us. That's the key problem. Because we are separated from God, therefore we cannot enjoy the love of God. Because we are separated from God, therefore we sin. We have all kinds of things coming from our own self because we are not God-centered. We are self-centered. And that's why we have a lot of things coming out. And those things are always leading us to destruction. What God wants us to see through the whole Bible is this thing. Every one of us, we are sinners. We sinned. But actually, we are not called sinners because we sin. On the contrary, we are sinners, and therefore the consequence is we do sin. Sinning is a consequence of because we are sinners. Why we are sinners? Because we are separated from God. So once we are separated from God, once we are not God-centered, once we are self-centered, we do things for my own sake. We do things just to make myself happy. We do things to glorify my own self. And that, in the Bible, is called sins. So, we want you to know that the Bible tells us we are sinners. It's not to condemn us, but to let us know that here, this is your situation. You are separated from God. Therefore, you are doing all the things for your own benefit. And because of this, because we're separated from God, we are all running on the road to destruction. Actually, do you know what's hell? H-E-L-L, hell. We all know this word. Hell is a place, in simple terms, where God is not there. That is called hell. Every one of us, we are running on this path to destruction, to a place where God is not there. And God knows that. And this God, the God who created the whole universe, He knows that. And He wants to stop us from going that direction. So what did He do? He put an obstacle there. He put a blockade there to stop us from going. That blockade, that obstacle is Jesus Christ. What did He do? He stand on that weight, pointing to another direction, saying, this direction you for sure will go to destruction. You please turn to another direction. If you don't turn, you keep going, you go to destruction. And Jesus said, because I have done one thing which help you, which guarantee you to walk another way so that you won't go into destruction. What is that path, that way? Jesus did one thing. God sent Jesus to show He loves us, to show that God loves us for sure. And God also sent Jesus to do one thing, and that one thing is Jesus died on the cross. He died on the cross, and for the purpose of taking our sins from us to Him, so that we can be able to come back to God. So the whole salvation that Jesus Christ accomplished was not just dying on the cross so your sins are forgiven. It's true. Was not just dying on the cross so that God can love you. That's true also. But the whole core of salvation is Jesus died on the cross, so therefore you can come back to God. Why He need to die? Because we know that sins, the wages of sins is death. If I have sinned, I commit crime, I need to face judgment. And if the land of the law of the land said someone can replace you to be in the jail, then if that someone went to the jail or someone died for me, then I'll be free. This is what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. He died on the cross so that this punishment, which was supposed to be on us, is gone, was on him. And through his death, he created a new path so that we don't go this way. He cut over and show us another way so that we can go that way. And through that way, we can come back to God. So that is the salvation that we're talking about. Gospel, if you look at the invitation sheet, gospel is the power of God. It's the power of God. Because our Lord Jesus, he died on the cross. Through the power of God, he also leads us to the new life. So we'll come back to you again. You may not think you are a sinner. I'm not trying to convince you. I'm saying I know. I know about 30 years ago. And many people here knows we are sinner. If we are honest to ourselves, let's face it. If we are honest to ourselves, we know that there are lots of nature in us which are very dirty, very sinful. And maybe you have tried many times to get rid of all these things, but you couldn't. But Jesus said, I can't do it for you. Maybe you said, I don't even believe there's a God here. So let alone any salvation or whatever. Here I'm also not trying to convince you there's a God here. Of course I know, I believe there's a God here. Many of us here believe there's a God here. But you may not believe in that. What about last century, Albert Einstein said one statement. He said, I don't know what people will use as weapon to fight the Third World War. But Einstein said, but I know what people will use as weapon on the Fourth World War. In the Fourth World War, they will use sticks, chisels, spade, axes, hammer to be their weapon. Why? Because in the Third World War, he honestly believed that all the civilization of mankind will be totally destroyed and we will come back to scratch. And because of that, we will have no weapon. So he's saying that man could be walking in the direction of self-destruction. Not too long ago, I read a newspaper, and there was a scientist. He said, the global warming problem or the environmental problem may come to a point of tipping over. What's tipping over? That means it may come to a point that you cannot reverse. This is what the scientist said. Because the situation is so worse that we human beings are destroying our future. One day, if we keep on doing in this direction, we will destroy it for sure. No matter how hard we try, not doesn't mean that we don't want to try. We may want to try hard to reverse the cycle, but no. If it's gone through the point of tipping over, the environment will keep going worse, and that is the end of human beings. We may not believe that we are destroying, we are walking in a role of destruction materially, and we may not agree either that we are walking in a role of destruction spiritually. But I want to let you know, the Bible says so, make it very clear that this is the road we human beings are walking on unless we turn around to our Lord Jesus Christ, who can lead us to another road. Let me say that while we have our civilizations create a lot of good things for us, yes, I don't deny that. But on the other hand, civilizations create a lot of problems to us. When we human beings put the control of our life in our own hands, we see that there are so many problems we are creating, even though we do it with a good heart. Of course, there are people that are doing it with a very bad heart. They try to just pursue their own benefit. You see the drug wars, you see the gangs, you see the marijuana, you see all these things, all this crime happening in this world. They are just trying to benefit from other people by ripping people off. They don't care about other people. Why do they have this kind of mindset? Because of sin, because of our nature, we are like this. So many things happen in this world. We see that the world is facing a problem, a point that we may not be able to turn around. Look at our second generations. We see it. The older people like me, always said that, older people older than me, always said that, well, the next generation of us may come to a point that we cannot help anymore because the society, the world is molding them in such a way that they are so self-centered, they are not trying to care about anything else except their own. I once talked to a doctor. Is there any doctor here? Doctor? No, wait. Okay. I'm not talking about you. He said to me only. He said, after a few years, you won't see any family doctor. I said, why? Because the school cannot produce family doctors? He said, no, the school can produce a family doctor for sure, without problem. And government has money to do it. But those doctors who've been graduated don't like to be family doctors. I said, why? Because family doctors carry a lot of responsibility. You need to come to work Monday to Friday or Tuesday to Saturday, or you need to deliver to when there's your patient is pregnant, or you when there's a house call, you need to go. So I said, so where do those graduated doctors go to? They go to the walk-in clinic. They can work on Monday to Tuesday and then take days off on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, come back on Saturday, see a different patient. The patient has record. They have the patient's record, but the patient doesn't have his record. So they cannot chase him. And then on the Saturday, they go take a day off or week off, come back to work. I said, why do they do so? Because by doing so, they have no responsibility. They don't need to carry any responsibility. That's what they're thinking of nowadays, people. That we can do a lot of things we want, but we don't want to bear the responsibility. Isn't that true in this world? We see that a lot of things happening, that people are trying to do a lot of things they like, they want, but come to responsibility? No, I don't want to have any one of them, any piece of them. Therefore, I can lead a very happy life. Another news in the Vancouver Sun lately is that another family system is being destroyed. One thing destroying the family system is the electronic things, the gadgets. He said that on average, there are 16 gadgets in one family. Try to count it yourself. 16 gadgets in one family, including the MP3, including the cell phone, including the Xbox 3. Is it Xbox 360? I don't know. I don't have that. About TV, about computer, about DVD, about all these things. 16 of them in one family on average. And that thing is drawing the time of the family members so that they can be very individual. They don't need to talk to the family members. So the family system is destroying. Why are these things happening? People create the electronic things for a noble purpose, so that we can be faster, we can be more efficient, yes. But when it's under the control of hand push it to the extreme. And people see that it's going to happen. The more gadget you have at home, the less you talk to your family members. Isn't that true? It's true. Guns, we see it. Guns is for protecting ourselves. Now guns is destroying ourselves. Nobel, they don't want to he feels sorry about creating guns. So therefore, he has a Nobel Prize. if he has a chance to turn it around, he might not want to create guns. But I can tell you, if he doesn't create guns, somebody else will. Cars, we create cars, but we have the greenhouse gas. You know, nowadays what people are talking about, not talking about environmentally friendly, they're talking about another term called zero carbon neutral. Yeah, when I go to buy a ticket, that they can have a website saying you want to be carbon neutral, click this. What it means is something like that. If you want, you don't want to create too many carbon dioxide, I can help you to plant some trees so they can be carbon neutral. Nowadays people are going to this extreme already, and the world is at the edge of tipping over because of our putting things under our own control. I know that some of you may still not believe in there's a God. If you are interested in knowing about is there a God, many of us are so willing to discuss with you. But for those who believe there is a God and we don't like what we are having right now, our lifestyle, we don't like to be always under the control of the sinful nature, we don't like to keep on sinning, Jesus Christ said there's a way. Because Jesus Christ knows that we sinned because we cannot control life. Somehow our nature, sinful nature, is controlling us, and He is giving us a way out by leading us back to God and continually, I want to emphasize, continually leading our lives, giving us power and strength so that we can lead a victorious life. But the first thing first, is we need to really accept what He has done. If we don't accept what He has done, we just try to hard ourselves in doing it. I can tell you, I tried before. It was not successful. It will never be successful. We may succeed in one day, but not 2 days. Maybe 2 days, but not 4 days. But Lord Jesus, in the past 2,000 years, many people, they were saved by this Lord Jesus. And our Lord Jesus Christ, the friend I've known for 30 years, He gave them power and strength to lead a life. Not just a life which can walk with God, but a life which can glorify God. Instead of always leading a life which is self-centered, we can convert and become a person who can lead a life who is God-centered. Do you want to? The first thing is, you need to confess your sin. The Bible says here, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. The first thing first, sin is the major obstacles stopping us from getting the grace of God, stopping us from enjoying God's love, stopping us from walking in God's way. Sin should be dealt with firstly, and we need to face it head on. We cannot ignore it. How? Our Lord Jesus died for the sins of His world, and He can give us a new life. He can give us His life, to be more precise, so that we can lead a life to please Him and to glorify Him. What should we do? Confess our sins. That's the first thing. Knowing that we are sinners is the first thing. And then the second thing is to accept what Jesus done in the past with a pure faith. And that is what you need to do. For it's by grace that you have been saved through faith, the Bible. We are saved by faith. And it's not from yourself, it's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. God gave us this gift. We just need to accept it by faith. The consequence is here. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Whoever believes in Jesus Christ becomes God's workmanship. We can say it's even as a masterpiece, that God can mold us, lead us to lead a life to glorify God. I don't know your situation, but I would like to go back to the hymn we just sang. If you're a hymn book, you can turn to hymn 115. I've been talking for the past hour. I'm talking about this Jesus Christ, He's living. How do I know He's living? Very straightforward. I experience that He's living. Not just living somewhere else, but living in my heart. Do you want to see this Jesus Christ living in your heart as well? It's always possible. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He really wants to save us. Because why? Because our Lord Jesus, or our God, He knows the end of the day of mankind is coming soon. Now even the scientists, they know it may not be too long. The world could be destroyed because of our quote-unquote wisdom. We destroy the world with our own wisdom. And Jesus Christ knows it even better. May not be just the environmental factor, maybe because of the war, maybe because of our self-centeredness, maybe because of any things. Look at things happening in Vancouver. Things are getting out of control. And it could be like this. The Bible makes it very clear already. These things is happening. Before you find out your life is not under your control, you better come back to God. And I really want you to come back to Him. If you don't know if there's a God, still, no problem. Come. If God is living, if God is real, He will show you that He's real. If God's powerful, He can show you He's powerful. You can challenge God, but you need to challenge with a humble heart. Then God can show you He's real. But when He shows that He's real, I really want you to believe in Him. Because you meet me today, you forget me, that's fine. But if God meets you one day and you let God go, the result may be eternal. So therefore, I really hope that we can be able to know, to learn that God is real and to accept this real God into our life. This hymn says one thing which is very, very interesting. In the refrain, the fourth line, refrain is that He lives. That means Jesus lives. Jesus lives. Or God lives. God lives. Christ Jesus lives in live today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. And when you ask me, how do I know He lives? I can tell you. He lives in my heart. I would like to sing this hymn one more time. I would like to sing the first and the second verses. Let's sing together.
I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer, and just the time I need Him, He's always here. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He
stand up if you can. Stand up, you sing the second stanza.
In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy paths. The day of His appearing will come at last.
Okay, Christian, we sing. I don't expect everyone to believe in what I said, but if you have doubt, I do encourage you, don't stop here. Keep on seeking. There are many of us here, we can say, this God is real. This God is living. And He's always here. So I don't try to say you should believe it today. I don't know my days, I don't know your days. But God is merciful. But don't take His mercy for granted. We always need to face our God one day, and He will ask us, what have I spent? What have I done to our life? How do we spend our life? And the first thing He wants to ask, do you have my life? That means, do you believe in me? If you don't believe in Him today, I cannot force you, I won't. But I want you to keep thinking, is that a God? If there's a God, what am I to do with this God? On the other hand, if you have the touching from God, you see that God loves me and I want to know more about Him. I really want to change my life. Then I encourage you, you can say a prayer. A very simple prayer. And then God can enter your heart and He can lead you a new life. A life that's always blessed. A life you can glorify Him. So the prayer is here, a very simple prayer. It's that, dear God, thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross for my sins. And raise Him from the dead. I'm a sinner, and I'm willing to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord. Please forgive me for all my sins. Come into my life and be my Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. At this point, I want all of us to have some quiet time. Won't be too long. You can think about your life. Do you really want to have your life change so that Jesus Christ can come into your life and become your Savior and lead you back to God so that we can be with God forever? Sins being forgiven, we can enjoy the love of God. Okay, let's bow down together. If you see that God touched your heart tonight, I hope you respond to God. If He said to you, I love you, and He wants you to be saved, I really hope that you can respond to His calling, that you accept Him to be your Savior, so that you can enjoy this new life of Him together. If this prayer really reads your mind, I want you to raise your hand so that you can accept Jesus Christ into your life tonight. Anyone want to accept Jesus Christ into your life tonight? If you want to, you can raise your hand. I want you to know that this is it's a moment being waited for a long time from God. You are here tonight. It's not a coincidence. And God wants to save you. So therefore, I want you to think about your life. This God is God who loves you. And He died for you already. He really want you to enjoy His presence in your life. And that He can be your Lord, your Master, so that you can always lead a life in the future, a life which got free from sin, a life which can glorify Him. If you want to, you can raise your hand. Okay, we can finish our meeting here. Let's bow down again. We pray together. Father, we pray to you. We know that your love to us is real, is genuine. You never forsake us. Father, we pray that you guide us into the full knowledge of you and lead all of us to know you more. Maybe we have lots of questions. Maybe there are lots of obstacles before us. Father, we pray you lead me so that we can have the desire to pursue you or to know more about you or to know if this God really exists. Help us so that we won't stop at this point. May God bless all of us who are here, that we can one day we know you for sure. In the name of Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen.